This is Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is totally workable with the right tools and understanding. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of wisdom. And now that I have that out of the way, I've said that so many times this season, I'm going to be candid now. So this is the wrap-up episode for the third season of Everything's Workable. And actually, it's the 70th episode, which is pretty cool. In the first two seasons, I was learning the ropes of podcasting while also sharing my understanding and approach of integrating Dharma into my life. It's kind of like a two-fold project. I was inspired to start the podcast after my wife described the warrior exams that she did when she was a student at Naropa University in Boulder. These basically involve sitting in a circle and sharing your understanding of a teaching or a practice without any notes, any references, nothing, just taking the leap, as Pema would say, off the cuff, which was a way of gauging where you were with your practice. So in the context of the podcast, like, it was a lot of fun and it was an interesting challenge, definitely, those first two seasons, just to take a thing that I was studying and contemplating and then turn it into a reflective and hopefully helpful podcast episode. But this year, having guests has made the whole podcast production process totally different. It's been a completely different learning curve, from finding guests to prepping questions to coordinating interviews across different time zones. That was always fun. And then editing stuff and getting it posted. Editing a conversation, sometimes that can be really hard, actually. Who knew? So there's lots to be done. And that's why today, with this episode, I just really want to thank everyone who helped out, because there was a lot of help. I do all the production myself, but I couldn't have done it if I didn't have guests to interview, so if I didn't have content to produce. So thank you to everyone who suggested a guest, everyone who was a guest, and especially thank you, I'm just going to put this out there, there were some people who made time for me to interview them, and I wasn't able to use those interviews this time around for one reason or another. But I want to thank them anyway for taking time out of their days to talk to me, taking an hour and a half sometimes to connect and coordinate their schedules. I really, really do appreciate that. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to Lily Percy, one of the producers of On Being. She took the time to connect with me. We talked for an hour. She answered a lot of questions that I had, and I really appreciate all the work that she does. I really appreciate Krista Tippett for creating On Being. It's a fantastic podcast. If you're not listening to it yet, you need to go listen to it now. You need to go listen to it after you finish listening to this episode. It is an amazing podcast. It's what I aspire to. Krista Tippett is a huge inspiration, and I consider her a mentor and a guide for the production of this show. So anyway, along with the actual production side of things, it's been really amazing to get to talk to so many interesting people about their practice and approach to life this season. Whether that's a life philosophy, or if they have a religious structure, or some other form of spirituality, whatever it may be. For example, I often draw parallels between Buddhism and other forms of spiritual / religious practices, but this season was a chance for me to truly have interfaith dialogues with people. My conversations with Aaron Lane, Lou Flores, Andy Sikora, and David Marino really helped me to see how helpful these conversations are. I really appreciated comparing practice notes, basically, with David, seeing how we each take a teaching. So me from a sutra or listening to a Dharma talk, and him from scripture or hearing a sermon. And then examine where it came from, what it's pointing at, and how to live it. I loved hearing what Andy had to say about understanding the context of a teaching or piece of scripture. How context of when it was written can be at odds with where we are today, and how to pull out the relevant aspects of a teaching to apply it effectively in modern day circumstances. With Lou, I delighted in discussing lineage and respect for the roots of tradition or practice. He also modeled respect that I admired for the way that others approach earth-based practices. He refrained from passing unkind judgment, but he was also really clear about not letting that prevent him from discerning the value of what someone has to offer. And then we come to Erin Lane. One of my favorite new practices of the last few months came from my discussion with her, when she emphasized the importance of moving at the pace of your soul. We found common ground as well in how we view our relationships with our spouses as part of our practice. She from the Christian perspective and me from the Buddhist perspective. In addition to these phenomenal interfaith dialogues, I also got to use this season of Everything is Workable as a way to share the kinds of conversations that I often have with those in my most intimate social circle. So, candid conversations with Chris Seeley, Nicole Byers, and Lynn Langille. These are three friends of mine that I've known for years who made time to talk with me and were willing to have these conversations shared in a public forum. It was really, really enjoyable, as well as being eye-opening. I learned a lot of stuff about them that I didn't know before. I appreciated the way that Chris described the importance of deep thinking, taking time to just contemplate experiences, language, and our interconnectedness with the world around us. It reminded me about the importance of valuing having nothing to do, because when you've got nothing to do, actually, it's a great time to just sit there and contemplate. Both Nicole and Lynn, as I said in their episodes, are people that I think of as my spiritual friends. They're people with whom I have a really strong mental, emotional, and spiritual relationship and connection. And I can talk with them about raw human experience for a long time. I love Nicole's reflections on how growing up with someone who refused treatment for mental illness really spurred her to take care of her own heart and mind. And Lynn, wow, Lynn's episode was so incredibly pithy. She had so many amazing statements that, and wonderful insights actually, that I'm still reflecting on and coming back to again and again. I'd also like to thank my wife, Gretchen, for sharing her take on leadership. She and I discuss Dharma on a daily basis. It's how our whole relationship was formed, was this total willingness and love of discussing the Dharma. And I often wish that I could share our conversations with others. I also appreciate that she's an introvert, so there's a big challenge in off-the-cuff recording for her. I have immense gratitude that she took that leap in that regard. And it was fun. It was great talking to her and drawing parallels between leadership in business and leadership in the Buddhist community and going, hey, these are the qualities of leadership, which regardless of where you're applying them, are applicable. Another introvert who too took the leap by being a guest was my Aunt Juanita, who shared the wisdom that she's found on her road to recovery from alcoholism. Her episode in particular warmed my heart. The wisdom she shares is applicable to anyone struggling with an addiction or watching a family member struggling with one. And honestly, it's applicable in so many different areas. Even if addiction isn't the thing that you're struggling with, that episode in particular is like a gold mine as far as I'm concerned for wisdom. Those are the people I already knew. I also got to make some new friends with this show, which was really super cool. I met Heather Ordover. She's the host of Craftlit, and we quickly learned that it's very important to time our episodes, and I have to do that with the more extroverted guests that I have, as some of us, we just have a really good connection and could talk for hours and hours and not get bored or tired. Her reflections on curiosity and literature were wonderful and contributed to my ever-expanding books to read list. I also really appreciate her bearing with me and recording twice because the first episode was so long and then the second episode was also so long and then I ended up using what we recorded in the first episode and then we did a third episode. Okay, she recorded with me three times. So that was great that she took that time and made that time to be on the show. Diane Dutchin and Emmanuel Plesch are two more new connections that I made during this season. Diane's honest reflections modeled how we can be introspective without being harsh about what we find there, and how to go about gently letting go of harmful ideas by questioning where they came from and why we believe them. Emmanuel connected with me through the Insight Meditation Timer app, which is a fantastic resource. I highly recommend it. I enjoyed conversing with him and hearing how the development of his meditation practice is going, especially within that secular framework, and how he balances doubt with a willingness to learn so that he doesn't fall into harsh skepticism. My entire conversation with Grace Heavyrunner was totally delightful, but I most appreciated the very final offering that she made to listeners. Go explore other cultures. Get to know how different groups live and practice and celebrate. When I started out this season, I knew I was going to ask people for resources. And when I was asking that question, I really was thinking like books or podcasts or people. So her suggestion suddenly changed the way that I phrased that final question and therefore changed the rest of the season. I began asking people instead to make an offering, whatever that might be, to listeners. So as a guest, just to offer something as a gift, if you will, because it's not necessarily going to be a thing that's so tangible. It could just be that really solid advice of go and explore the world around you in some different way. Keep your eyes open and get to know the people that you share the planet with, that you share your city with, that you share your community with. I found myself challenged in a similar way, actually, when I interviewed Michelle Puckett. And she so eloquently explained how care for others, for the environment, and for our communities is self-care. Her insights on the redemptive power of love are absolutely inspiring. I loved talking to Michelle. She was another person with whom I felt I could have talked for several hours. So last, but certainly not least, it was brilliant. Just totally brilliant to connect with both Sharon Salzberg and Cynthia Moku. I am so grateful that they were both able to make the time to speak with me, given their incredibly full and busy schedules. Sharon has a new book, True Love, that's just about to come out, and Cynthia's on pilgrimage, doing the Dakini Project pilgrimage at the moment. It was such an honor to speak with Sharon so candidly about love, loving kindness, compassion, especially given that I learned metta from reading her book way back in 2008 when I first began to practice, nearly a decade ago now. And as an artist and someone who has recently begun to explore Tonka art in particular, connecting with Cynthia Moku was so fantastic for me. I really, really loved talking to her. I felt like I was speaking to a kindred spirit, and there were so many times in our interview where she was putting into words things I felt when I'm drawing, when I'm making art. I think it's one of those interviews, like, you listen to that as an artist, as anyone who's got any sense of creativity in their life, it will resonate with you. And as someone who might be convinced that you have no creativity in your life, it'll probably also resonate with you as you realize that creativity manifests itself in so many ways. It's not just about drawing or painting or making music. I should probably then at this point also thank Annie Pema Chodron. She's the most influential teacher in my life. And while I didn't interview her this season, I probably gave her a shout out in basically every single episode. I want to thank her for her skill as a teacher and show my gratitude for her teaching and continuing to teach. I absolutely admire her and aspire to be so skillful. And then finally, but definitely not the least, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening to this, because I produce this show for the joy of it, with zero budget, no advertising. I do it because I want to be of benefit in any way that I can. I want to show my gratitude by paying forward the wisdom that I find in the things that I'm reading, in the teachers I listen to, the conversations I have. I want to gift this, and this is a way that I can gift this. And often I think that I'm just talking into an echo chamber, or I think I've only got a handful of listeners, and they're probably all people I am related to, or, you know, my wife. So it's really delightful when I hear back from a listener who really enjoyed the show, or when someone connects with me to suggest a guest and they're someone I don't know. It's great when the people I do know do it as well, but it's also very cool when it's someone that I don't know who's just heard the show and thought it was great and thought, hey, I know someone who'd be a good fit for this. So every time an episode is liked on Facebook or reposted or retweeted, it means that there's a chance of it reaching that many more people. And we never know what story might speak to a person or bolster them when they're down or resonate with them when they feel most alone. So it's great that you're listening to this, that you're sharing it with people, that you're having conversations with people about it, that it's sparking ideas and making connections. Not to go into a lot of detail, but the episode with my aunt, she was able to reconnect with an old friend who heard it and got in touch with me via Facebook. And through that, she ended up also having a conversation with another mutual friend where that person was able to open up about the way that addiction was affecting her family and her life. And my aunt was able to make that connection and provide resources to someone who she might not have otherwise if she hadn't taken the leap to be on the show, and if someone hadn't noticed the show and made that whole, it's amazing, right? Like, we're all interconnected and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for talking about it with people. It means a lot. I'm so grateful to every guest and every listener, as well as all of the books and teachings from so many wonderful and wise people. They guide my practice. They help me to human better. And that is priceless, truly priceless. So I'm not totally sure when the next season is going to air. I'm working proper-like again. I've taken on a job. I have regular hours and stuff. And producing a podcast takes a lot of time and energy, and that's something that I don't have a lot of right now while I am working. But I will be continuing with this project. It's also, this whole strap for time and energy is why I'm seeking a social justice sound engineer. There's someone interested in giving a few hours a month to helping out. You may have noticed sound quality isn't always great. It's not really my forte. I do the best that I can with the equipment and know-how that I have, but I would love for the recordings to be consistently good, so the value of what a person has to share isn't lost in static and fuzzy recordings. I'd love to find a kindred spirit, someone with sound engineer background, maybe a recent grad, something like that, who would be interested in working in this project. It's a voluntary thing initially. I don't even get paid to do this, but as soon as there is some sort of funding, you could get paid, but just like a few hours a month. The details of that role are on my website, caitlinschatch.com, under the collaborate link. In the meantime, keep listening to past shows, keep sharing them. Like I said, it means a great deal to me when you do. This is an entirely voluntary project for me, which I do all of my own promotions for. I have zero income from. I pay for the hosting and the sound editing program I use out of pocket, funding this 100% myself at the moment. Well, okay, that's not totally true. My wife actually funds most of it, considering that I've only just started having an income again after about a year. But you know what I mean? This is something that happens because it happens, because I can make time for it and I try to make time for it and want to do that, and it's important to me. So this is not a big money-making scheme. This is purely an act of paying it forward, and every little bit helps. So when you retweet an episode or subscribe or leave a review of it on iTunes, it's just one step closer to getting it to a larger audience, and you never know who's listening. Yeah, that being said, I'm going to be taking a brief sabbatical, but I'm going to be looking for guests for the next season soon, and I'm taking suggestions through my site. So please, if you have a teacher or a friend, or if you yourself are interested, I'm looking for individuals who want to talk about their life and practice, the tools that help them navigate life, who have insight or some sense that everything, absolutely everything, really is workable in some way. Thank you. To keep in touch, you can sign up to my monthly wrap-up email where I share all the things I've been up to each month and what's coming up in the next month. You can sign up through my website, caitlinschatch.com. I promise I won't spam you, and if you hit reply, the email will come directly to me and you will get a reply directly from me, not some form reply. This episode first aired May 25th, 2017. Please check caitlinschatch.com to see what collaborators I am seeking and what the call for guests status currently is. Thank you to Dexter Britton, who composed the music accompanying this and the previous two seasons of the show. His music can be found at dexterbritton.com.